Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's 2022
Woo-hoo!
2023 preseason coverage, and one of our favorite preseason nights of the year because we are simultaneously recording four podcasts. Yes, all at
Yes.
the exact same time. Oh, wait.
You can play them all at the exact same time. They're all in the same post. You can
Yes,
play
we are.
there.
This is our American Athletic Conference preview. If
I
you want the
the
A10
American.
preview, it's down below,
I thought we were
right?
going in alphabetical order. A10 is first. It's A and then the number 10. That's
The American is coming first. The A10 second. You want it down below. Mountain West down below that. West Coast Conference all the way down below that. And if you play all four of them at the same time backwards, you get a really lousy recipe for bad chocolate chip cookies. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. To my sides, David Griggs and John Tytel. Down below, John Salica, and back with from Bracketeer.org, Rocco Miller as well. And we've got a lot to get to tonight. We've got a lot of podcasts to record, so I think we should get right into it here with the American and Rocco, the team that everybody, rightfully so, I think, is talking about heading into the season, is this Houston Cougars team.
Yes, they are, and I'm glad they are because this team deserves it. I mean, they're loaded. They're finally going to be healthy. You know, last year at this time, I think they were down two or three starters. We thought they were still going to be tough, but we didn't know how far they could get. They landed in a five seed, but absolutely pummeled Tytel's Arizona team in the Sweet 16 and fell short against Villanova. So now we all know what the next step is to get back to the Final Four, which they did in the COVID bubble season, the first COVID season.
Yeah,
And
we, as a Rutgers fan, we don't talk about that. We don't do
sorry, Chad. But
that.
not only has got our guys like Sasser and Mark and Sheed back, but you also add in just an influx of talent with Jarace Walker and Terrence Arsenault, just superstar freshmen, that they'll get ingrained with that culture. You know, half the time Houston has the ball, I feel like they miss on purpose just because they love offensive rebounding so much. And they're just I cannot think of a more physical team in the country than this. And it's a matchup nightmare when you get to March Madness.
Yes. Go ahead, Griggs.
Just not so much specific to this season, but for the program in general, in the NCAA tournament, I believe was it 17 or 16 when Michigan, it was 2018, I'm sorry, when Houston had not been on the national stage in a long time, and they were on the brink of a Sweet 16 appearance. And Michigan, who went all the way to the championship game, put them out with a three-quarter shot. And I remember thinking, oh man, this it would have been so nice to see Houston on the national stage again. Who knows if they'll ever get back there? Are you a little surprised that they've gone from just total obscurity to literally a top 10 blue blood program in the amount of time that they have, like a Final Four and Elite Eight, and this recruiting class? Holy cow.
Yeah, it's like almost as soon as the Furtado Center opened, they just turned it into this brand new program with the brand new arena. What Kelvin Sampson's been able to build and his son being there as kind of probably the next coach in line there. They're set up for years to come. Obviously, they're on their way to the Big 12 after this year. It's you know, they've tapped into the big recruiting bed that is Texas in the Houston area. And now it's just a total culture. So it is pretty amazing. I agree with you, Griggs. I don't think any of us could have saw this much coming, but now it's very clear where they're going.
And let's
Well, this
not
is a
forget
Final Four
that
caliber team. Sorry,
absolutely.
go ahead, Stalika.
I was going to say, let's not forget Kelvin Sampson also had an opportunity to take the Arkansas job, but ended up staying put at Houston here because he's got a nice little thing going.
Yeah, he does.
It has a very nice little thing going. And I think the question I was going to ask, which I think Griggs already answered, is this Final Four caliber team? And I think we all kind of agree, at least everyone that's spoken so far, that it is. But they
Hey,
are not the
Chad,
only team in their. Yeah, go ahead.
where is the Final Four this year, Chad?
That Final Four, I believe, is that in Houston this year?
Yes, it is. So that's the mission. That's the mission.
Yep. So they would have the home court advantage there in the in the Final Four, or the home city advantage. Beyond this Houston team, Tytel, do we need to talk? Yeah, I think there's a obviously I think there's a huge drop off beyond Houston in this conference. But what about this Memphis team that Penny brings back this year?
So imagine this slap in the face, if you will. Kendrick Davis at SMU last year was the conference player of the year in this conference. He stays in the conference by transferring to Memphis, but he's not the preseason player of the year because Marcus Sasser, who played a whopping, what did he get, 12 games last year. I agree, when healthy, he's as good as anybody. So I don't think it's a mistake necessarily, but a huge slap in the face for Kendrick Davis. He turned 23 last May, so you have this experienced point guard. He's led this conference in scoring and assists, not just last year, but the year before as well. And he plays his best against the best teams in this conference. He had 20 last January when they won at Memphis. He had 22 last February when they beat Houston. So as good as Sasser is, I really think Davis is going to repeat as conference player of the year.
Okay, but beyond, but in this roster here, though, in terms of beyond Davis, you got DeAndre Williams back, and you got, I like Emmanuel Aycock coming over from Boise State. So, I mean, how good is this Memphis team going to be, do you think?
Well, I do not like Emmanuel Aycock since he bailed on Arizona, but that's a separate issue, I suppose. No, I think
I love him. Love me some Emmanuel Aycock.
Well, he also bailed on Memphis, by the way. He's at Western Kentucky now.
Oh, did he go? Okay. Yeah. I'm a little low to my notes there. I missed that move. I apologize. Okay. Without Emmanuel Aycock, because he's gone, what are Memphis' chances this year?
I think pretty good. I think Houston, as Rocco has acknowledged, is the clear favorite, deservedly so. But they did lose Josh Carlton and Fabian White, two big pieces, literally and figuratively, from last year's team. I wish that Memphis had a little more size. They seem, to me, very similar to Houston in terms of tons of upperclassmen, but a lot of guys who are in the backcourt. So I think that they can hang with them, but I think Houston's the pick and Memphis is a close second.
Okay. Wow. I think they're a solid second. I think they're not close to Houston.
Go back to alphabetical order. When I go through my conferences of the season, I do them in alphabetical order. So I actually looked at the American about 6 weeks ago. So that's my excuse.
That would explain it.
You talk about Memphis being a close second, Griggs. I got another team that I like as a close second, maybe even better than Memphis this year. And it's a city that, it's a team that we have not discussed very seriously in the American for years. How about Ron Hunter and the Tulane Green Wave this season?
And by years, you mean not discuss them by, you know, for years, you mean ever. I've loved Ron Hunter ever since IUPUI. He was the coach when they transitioned up. I know this is hard to believe since IUPUI finished with just five players and ranked around 350 or so, but went to an NCAA tournament there. It was really competitive. Georgia State was sort of in the dregs. He had some great teams there, and now he's getting Tulane turned around in a way that they probably haven't been since literally the old Metro Conference days. I don't know if they're all the way inside the bubble, but I believe all five starters are back. A lot of players are sort of in that period between the first and second year of being serious contributing players. I think that's when you see the most improvement. I don't know if they're quite is this high, Chad, quite as good as Memphis, but I think we're going to see Tulane win at a level that we haven't since high school or earlier. It's just people that weren't, nobody, the last time Tulane might be as good as they are now was long before anybody on the team was even born.
Titel, do you agree? Do you think Tulane could be an NCAA tournament team this year?
I don't. If you like guys named Jalen, this is your team with Forbes and Cook in the backcourt. But I just wish they had like a little more. And David talks about the fact that it's been a minute for Tulane. To give you an idea of how long it's been, the last time they made the NCAA tournament was 1995. So good luck, but I don't think they're going to get there this year.
We'll see. I'm on the Tulane bandwagon here. I mean, they got Kevin Cross in the front court. I think they got the pieces. But Stalica, you know I'm going to you for the next team because I know it's one of your East favorite
Carolina.
Teams out there. Yeah. You know, maybe, but what before we get there, how about Wes Miller and the Cincinnati Bearcats?
Love Wes Miller.
I think if we're talking about Wes Miller, you're looking at a couple longtime Bearcats and Jeremiah Davenport, David DeJulius, and John Newman III. Now, this year, when they went out to the transfer portal, they added Landers Nolly II out of Memphis and originally from Virginia Tech, and they also add Rob Finnessy from Indiana. Hopefully, it's not going to be like the disaster they had during the two seasons of John Brannan, but they've gone back to more of a defense-first approach. But I guess another question we're going to see from the Bearcats is, are they going to actually show a little more pride against a team like Houston, whereas they've just completely fallen apart against the Cougars the past two or three seasons.
Rocco, is this an NCAA tournament team?
I don't think so on paper yet. I mean, they could potentially play their way in. They've got the Maui Invitational, which is full of opportunity. A few other decent games, like obviously the crosstown game with Xavier will be big. But outside of that, when you're in the American, you know, you still have a bottom three or four in this league where you can't trip up to maintain NCAA tournament status, and you got to have a good non-league schedule. And I think overall, to John's point, I think teams like Cincinnati, there'll be a couple more we'll talk about in a minute. They're really beefing up their front lines and their just overall physicality to try to keep up with Houston and Memphis. This will no doubt, in my mind, be the most physical conference in the country. And it's all because everybody else in the league is trying to catch up to the physicality of Houston and Memphis. And anyway, we'll touch on more of that as we go, but yeah, it's fascinating. And I think the refs are going to be swallowing a lot of whistles and letting these guys play. It's going to be fascinating.
And there is going to be an added sense of urgency for Jeremiah Davenport, because I've looked it up. I can't find a single four-year player from UC that has lost the Crosstown Shootout four straight years.
Ooh. Ouch.
Tytel, you talked about the fact that SMU lost Kendrick Davis. Is there anything left at SMU to even look at this season now?
I mean, I don't think Larry Brown is walking through that door, if that's what you mean.
He's over in Memphis on the bench still, I think, isn't he?
Yes. They also don't have Tim Jankovic walking through that door. They got Rob Lanier, who's been the coach in the past at Siena and Georgia State. He's got great coaching pedigree. He worked for Billy Donovan at Florida and Rick Barnes at Texas and Tennessee. So you know how I love first-year coaches. But, no, I think that they got a tough little schedule, the Diamondhead Classic, TCU. They haven't made the tournament in 5 years, so they can hang around maybe. But no, I don't think SMU is going to do much this year.
Yeah. Greg, you had a comment?
Oh, no, just I agree. I don't think they're going to do much this year.
Well, Greg, what about Aaron McKee's Temple team? Do you see anything there with Battle? When he went out with his injury, he was having 21 points a game before he went down with his injury last year.
Yes, I see quite a bit here. I don't know if it's fair to call them a dark horse, because the expectations might be kind of high, but I kind of like this Temple team. Not quite as much as Houston or Memphis. I don't want to get carried away, but I like teams that have a lot of returning contributing players from the year before, and that showed moments of promise, which I think Temple did. And you mentioned, had it not been for the injury, they probably would have won a few more than the 17 that they did. I'm a little surprised you went to me and not Big Five expert Tytel. Nobody else on this
Tytel
knows anything about Philadelphia sports.
Tytel, you agree with him? The dark horse?
I do, actually, and I think that the injury to Caleb Battle is going to be – it was big last year. I think he's near 100%. I got to sit in on their preseason media day call, and I got to interview his assistant, Monty Ross. Battle only played 7 games last year, but he made 21 threes out of 43, which shows that he takes a lot but makes a lot, and that was something that they were really missing last year. Their three-point shooting was – only 31.1%. So I think he will give them some much-needed three-point shooting. And they were a very young team last year, one of the youngest in the nation, I think.
Yeah.
And so with most of the team coming back and everybody getting on the same page even more and more with Coach McKee and his staff, I think Dark Horse is a very good pick.
How good, John? Can this be a top 25 team before the end of the year?
No, but if you define Dark Horse as, like, hanging around and, like, maybe – giving Memphis some problems in like a conference tourney semifinal, like I will buy that.
I have a note here that Rocco wants to discuss UCF. I'm not sure why, but Rocco, go ahead.
Well, I just happened to be down in Orlando a couple weeks ago. Okay. I attended a UCF practice. Couple things really stood out. So as we talked about with Cincinnati, this team is just huge. Just look at the size of their roster, if you look at their projected lineups, it kind of showed up in person. One of the biggest teams I've seen all off season, but not a lot of guys that can shoot very well. So it is, again, another team that's built to try to contend with the physicality of Houston, Memphis, and the like. But I do want to call out one kid. Taylor Hendricks comes in as a heralded freshman. He's going to start. The UCF staff actually told me they think he could be one and done. He's that good. The reason why he landed at UCF is his twin brother Tyler is also in the freshman class, but the Power Five schools largely didn't want to take both of them on. They just wanted Taylor. UCF took the plunge, took them both. So here we are. And it was really interesting to see him practice because Taylor was already the vocal leader of the group with all these like fifth and sixth year seniors. So really fascinating kid to follow this year down at UCF.
Salika, Wichita State, the once great program of Wichita State seems to be continuing to head in the wrong direction. And any hopes that after a bad season last year, anything gets any better, or is it just going to get worse?
This is a team that would probably end up in the middle of the pack of the Missouri Valley right here. I don't see how they're going to be able to really sustain the physicality of teams we've already discussed at the top here.
That's a great assessment. They'd finish about in the middle of the MVP.
I mean, I don't know how you get a bunch of low and mid-major transfers and to assemble a roster and expect to be successful in the American. So, Griggs, Tulsa has a new head coach and a guy we liked coming over from Louisiana Tech and Eric Conkle.
Yeah, and they've got a new head coach. I think he'll do a good job in the next year or two.
Not this year, though.
No, oh my God.
A little bit of mess cleanup from Frank Haith.
Yes, Frank Haith should come with some sort of Surgeon General's warning.
Tytel, South Florida and East Carolina are in this conference as well.
If you say so. The thing that I like about South Florida is just to show like the amazing, as much as I like Memphis, like they do have a bunch of like roster turnover. Stalika mentioned Landers Nolly earlier and Tyler Harris, who's been at Memphis and Iowa State, brings his 148-pound frame to South Florida to play for Coach Gregory. It's weird to see like how many former Memphis guys transferred but stayed in this conference. I wonder what impact that'll have if they know Penny's offense and if they can exploit it somehow.
All right. Salika, you wanted East Carolina? Go ahead. The rest of the show is yours.
Crickets. My thoughts exactly. All right.
All right. On that note, though, I want to do is run through each of you here with the three questions we like to ask in all these shows. Who's going to win the conference? The answer is Houston. Yes. How many teams are going to be in the tournament? That's a good question, this league. And any other final thoughts on the league? And Rocco, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so I will pick Houston to win the league. And I do have Memphis second and Tulane third. And I get at the moment, I have all three in. The more and more I talk to people down there around this league about Tulane, and just knowing from scheduling how many teams avoided Tulane gives me all the ingredients I need to go ahead and feel okay about putting them in. But Jalen Cook should take an unbelievable step forward from a freshman to sophomore and just lights out shooting in that core of guards. But again, they don't have the size, so that's going to be fascinating. I guess I'll just make that my final thought. I've already touched on the physicality a ton. I'm very curious to see how many fouls actually get called in the league. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Tytel.
Houston will win, so we can quickly move past that one. I think Memphis gets in. I'm setting the over under 2.5 and taking the under because I don't believe in Cincy or the rest. And as far as a fun fact, minus a screenshot, I'm going to focus on Tigers point guard Alex Lomax. The thing about him that I can't believe is that he played for Penny in high school at East High School. Penny's coached him since the sixth grade. I mean, you talk about guys having a connection and the point guard being the face of the coach on the court. Lomax has played for Penny Hardaway for, I kid you not, 12 years in a row. It seems impossible, but he's played for the guy for 12 years.
Salika.
Well, aside from the obvious about Houston, I do think we could potentially see three bids out of the American this year, only because I'm not seeing other conferences outside of the ACC, SEC, and the Big 12 where there's going to be a lot of bids being hoarded. So I do think the opportunity is there for either Cincinnati or Tulane to make their run. Now, for the Bearcats, they're going to have an early test in Maui where they get Arizona in their first-round game, and you've also got Creighton and Ohio State laying in the weeds in that tournament. So could potentially be a nice Bearcats-Buckeyes matchup if that comes to fruition.
All right. I personally am going also with Houston to win. I am going to go against all of you here, and I don't think Memphis is going to be an NCAA tournament team this year.
All right.
It's happened when Memphis has been this highly rated, has been higher rated than this even going into the season in recent years. So I don't like Memphis. I do like Tulane, and I think Cincinnati is going to be right on the bubble there. So 2.5 over under, and I might barely take the over and go with Cincinnati, but it's like a first four team. Griggs, your thoughts?
That's kind of a bold pick. I don't entirely agree with it, but I don't disagree with it either, just because of the track record that Memphis has. I'm going with three bids, and I think there's as many as five that could end up with a three. I think Houston wins the league, and I'll be shocked if they don't get a protected seed or maybe even a one seed. I'm iffy on Memphis, but I still think they get in. And of the other team that I really like this Temple team, probably more than just about anybody else here. So they'll be my pick for the third bid. But I also think Cincinnati and Tulane can be in the hunt for it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Rocco.
Yeah, on the Temple note, I actually think they could get off to an amazing start. They play Villanova on the opening Friday night. Villanova's going to be down a couple guys. I think we talked about that on the Big East show. Really good opportunity for Temple to get a resume going right out of the gates.
All right. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone who joined us for the American podcast. If you're looking for the A-10, it's down below Mountain West, below that West Coast, and further below. Everything else up on the season preview tab up top. But on behalf of John Titel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Stalica, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll be talking to you, if you're watching Mall in Order, in the A-10 podcast in about 10 seconds when you hit the play button over there.